Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble, at your service. I'm excited about our new friend joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. Carrie Murphy is going to talk to us in just a few minutes. I want to introduce you to him. He's a guy that I've met recently because I found his wine. His company, his winery is called Dumal. That's the name of his wine. He's out in California, and we found his wine recently and just got excited about it, and I found him online and traced him down and congratulated him on the great product that he was producing, and decided that I thought he'd have some things that you and I could benefit from. I know many of you would like to know about the winemaking business, but also what's it like being a small business owner in the winemaking industry. Carrie Murphy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you here. And again, on the air, I want to tell you that we tried your Chardonnay. We were introduced to your Chardonnay within the last few weeks, and the 2002 Russian River Chardonnay. And I'll tell you, I've never had anything better.
Well, I'm prejudiced, but I think you show impeccable taste.
Well, that makes it unanimous. Then absolutely, with a couple of discerning guys like you and me, that must make it official. Okay, you weren't always in the winemaking business, were you?
No, I was not.
People ask me sometimes why did I decide to get into this business, and I tell them insanity. And I'd like to know what your answer is for why you got into the winemaking business.
Well, I think it's like any business, you know, whether it's shoes, tires, or wine. I mean, I think you have to have a passion for it and a will and a wish to do something on your own. And I was not too many guys get to grab the brass ring twice. I was the owner of a very successful commercial tire house, and which we sold to Goodyear back in '87. And I had a couple hundred employees and such like that. But I've always loved wine, and especially the wines of Burgundy and for their structure and balance. And you know, mine started from a small cellar that got bigger. And then one night with a dear friend and my partner, who owns a restaurant, probably after we'd had a couple good bottles of Burgundy, you know, when you've solved all the problems of the world and can't remember the answers the next morning, we decided to do that. And that was back in '96. So, we were making 300 cases of wine at that time, split between Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. And today it's, we're probably an 8,000 to 10,000 case producer, which makes us a boutique that makes enough wine to make a difference.
That's Mondavi's a pretty good bit of wine for a boutique winery, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
That's a pretty good bit of wine for a boutique.
It is. But there's some that are bigger and a number of them that are smaller. I don't think size is the criteria. The criteria really is basically of producing a volume that you wish, but most importantly, the wines have to come first. You have to be producing them at a level that you can maintain the excellence and quality that I think we do with our wines.
Is that the definition of a boutique winery?
Pardon?
Is that the definition of a boutique winery?
Well, I think that's the word that's bandied about. I think you could use this just as easily. We're a small winery. Probably that's even better. I like that word better because, I've always been a small businessman. And so I'd say we're small in relationship to that. You know,
but
we're
the
like
wine
the Ferrari
comes first.
Versus General Motors, huh?
The wine comes first. If you make 1,000 cases or if you make 7,000 cases, the wine has to come first.
Absolutely. And I think that's probably something about our business model and what we do. I was kind of raised by the Jesuits. And one thing, all of our infrastructure, everything we did went in the bottle. There's a lot of wineries. This is my own personal opinion, so I'm responsible for its content. But a lot of wineries start where they buy, these vast amount of vineyards and build this multi-million-dollar winery. Then they make 300 cases of wine, and they're not making any money. They wonder what's going on. And so the wine suffers because they start making decisions based on economics rather than the quality of the wine. And basically, when we started, we owned no land, no winery, no equipment or anything else. And everything, every dollar we spent went in between the cork and the bottle.
And you vendored out, you outsourced the other stuff?
Everything we absolutely outsourced everything that we did, and then as we grew.
But yet you wind up with a high quality product.
Oh, absolutely you would, yeah. Because we had the basically the luxury of picking the vineyards that we wished to pick when we started, and then we made I think we're in a unique position from the standpoint that DuMaul was started not as a source of income. DuMaul was started as a passion of something we really wished to do.
Mm-hmm.
I did not require DuMaul to as far as my livelihood or such or my partner. And as we grew from 300 cases to where we are today, we're highly profitable, and we bought all of our own infrastructure. Today we own everything we do except for the walls.
The wine came first.
25 acres of estate properties today.
The product came first, folks, and everything else came after that. That's a good lesson for all of us.
Have to do that.
22. We'll be right back with our new friend, Kerry Murphy. He's the winemaker at DuMaul. We're back at 17-2. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. We're visiting with our new friend, Kerry Murphy, the founder of the DuMaul Winery. And, Kerry, give us the website, please.
Our website is www, and it's just DuMaul, DuMaul.com.
Where did that name come from?
Well, I like to tell my friends I tell people when they ask me that, I said, it's an old French domain. I said, this DuMaul, it sounds very French. And then people that know me say, okay, Murph, now what's it really mean? And actually, it's an acronym for two children, Duncan and Molly.
Ah.
In fact, all of our wines, even our designated wines, they're all named after children or people that we love.
Chloe,
that's partner's little granddaughter.
One of your wines is named Chloe, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's another one.
I didn't know where that name came from. I saw that on your list.
Yeah, and then there's a Pinot Noir called Ryan, which is my grandson.
Right.
And then there's a Syrah called Eddie's Patch, and that was Ed Woodward, my dearest friend.
I'm glad to know all this now. That's great.
We're kind of an incestuous group with all these names.
No, I think that's great branding. I think that's smart branding.
Well,
because it's different.
The name Ichabod or Fred, so we have Cuvée Fred. We'll be all right.
Okay, now, I asked Kerry, you know, I've been to the Sonoma Valley and have gone up and down the valley and done the wine tasting thing in the past, and it's a lot of fun. But I asked Kerry, you know, if he had anything like that, and he said no. He said you said you would never have one of those. Tell him what you told me, why that's the case.
Well, it's not a matter that we're we're snobby or such. It's very simply that we're small, but our wines are allocated. We're fortunate enough that the wines judged by the people that buy them, our wines are allocated because we sell them out 2 months before they even release. And as a consequence, there's basically nothing to taste. We do have private tours for people that are on our pre-release list for our wines, and they get to barrel taste, which is a lot more fun than tasting finished wines because you really see wine in the middle of their assemblage,
huh.
And you get a real feel for what it's coming, you know, what's going to come to be over the next couple of years.
All right, look, we're at a restaurant where we've got our, you know, this is for the guys now, okay? We, mm-hmm. we got our lady in front of us, and we're trying to impress her, even if she's our wife of 25 years, we're trying to impress her.
You better to impress her.
Yeah, exactly. And so we're trying to pick the right wine, but we know, you know, obviously we could spend $100 and probably get a good wine, but how do we pick a wine that's the best value on the wine list?
Well, of course, I'd always say pick DuMaul if it was on the
list. Of course.
That aside, you know, it's a tough one. I think you rely a lot on your sommelier and on the area where you are. I think people get too bound up in, you know, what is the right wine as far as varietal to drink. You know, wines that are food friendly, a lot of people don't realize. I mean, a lot of red wines will go with a lot of fish. You know, like mm-hmm. Pinot Noir is probably the most food friendly wine that there is on the planet.
Pinot Noir. Now that's a little. It's a little less hardy than a Sauvignon, right? Cabernet
well,
Sauvignon.
Well, yeah, I would say it's hardy being the word that it's not rough around the edges. Yes, that you know Pinot Noir. Of course, we are primarily a producer of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay and some Syrah, a smattering of Viognier. So my bent is very much towards the wines of Burgundy rather than Cabernet or Sauvignon Blanc that come out of Bordeaux. So I just happen to think that Pinot Noir is the most regal grape that there is. It's certainly the most difficult to vinify, but it's so complex that it'll go from a range of foods to doesn't make any difference from poultry to meat to fish.
Do you serve your Pinot Noir room temperature?
About room temperature. In fact, you want to do the same thing, believe it or not, with Chardonnay. I mean, that's a real misconception. With people drink Chardonnay too darn cold, and they do that because I think a lot of people have never had a good one. And if you put a Chardonnay in a refrigerator or you chill it down like that, what you do is you close it up. And by doing so, if it's real oaky, you hide that. If it's alcoholic, you'll hide that. And if it's stemmy, you'll hide that. But if it's a great wine, which I feel ours are, fine, extraordinary Chardonnays. You closed the bouquet down.
I did notice that your wine, after it breathed, had a different flavor because we served it cold originally, and after it breathed a little bit, it did change. Would you recommend decanting a Pinot Noir or a Chardonnay?
You know, we just about decant the red wines, especially so.
Usually do the Merlots and the Cabernets, but a Pinot Noir or a Chardonnay, do you recommend decanting that?
Well, Pinot Noir or Syrah, absolutely, I recommend decanting for 45 minutes. And if you can
45,
do it with Chardonnay,
45
decant
minutes.
It for 15.
So you would decant the Chardonnay?
I would decant.
That's typically
not
something.
When I have an opportunity, I would decant any wine I do.
Okay.
It just opens them up. It allows it to breathe.
Just pour it through the little strainer and let it breathe a little bit. Let it open it up.
And depending upon the age, you don't have to import it to the strainer. I mean, if it's not kicking, he said, and it's young, don't do it.
45 minutes, huh?
On a red.
I never knew to do it that long.
Well, you can do it for 30, but just to decant it, A man that I really, truly respect is Robert Mondavi Sr.
Mm-hmm.
I had lunch with him one day, and I don't think there's a wine without exception that man doesn't decant. And if there's a icon of the wine industry, it's certainly Robert Mondavi.
Right. Okay, tell us... how is the wine industry today in California?
Well, I'm wearing my Jesuit business hat. I don't get too enamored by people saying the climate in this area is such and such as far as business. And you'll hear stories on the wine industry. Well, there's too much grapes, or the price of this or that. And I turn to people and I say, it's a funny thing. I said, the automobile industry will complain about how it is, but, Ferrari sells out every year. and if you're in the top 1% or 2%, you never have a problem.
Right. That's another good lesson for us small business owners. Stand by, 10 till. We're going to be right back with our new friend, Kerry Murphy, the founder of Dumas Winery. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For the show, free to get ready now. Go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our new friend, Kerry Murphy, the owner and the founder of Dumas Winery in California. And the website is Dumal, DUMOL.com. And hope you'll check that out and find out what his wine making is all about. Kerry, what makes a wine sell for $8 a bottle, and what makes a wine sell for $48 a bottle? What's the difference? Are you there? Did we lose him, Roger? We must have lost him. Well, that's one of the questions that I'd like to know about is, and maybe we'll get him back here in a second. I think we must have lost him there. One of the things that's interesting to me about the winemaking business is all the different wineries out there. If you've ever been out there, are you there now, Kerry? There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. Sorry about that.
You lost me, I guess.
Yeah, I was asking about how you determine how a wine costs $8 a bottle or a wine costs $48 a bottle.
I don't know how easy a question that is, but I will speak to where we are. Our wines are obviously, in the $48 range, slightly below and well above. Where we start is that we attempt to make the most extraordinary, finest wines we can. It costs money to do that. While I say that, I look at our peer group, who I consider our peer group to be, which are people like Kistler and Markison and Rocchioli and Peter Michael. And our wines are far less money than theirs, but I feel, of course, it's my pride that our wines, I think, are of equal or better stature. Where you start, you do the best you're capable of doing. The wines come first to produce those wines. And great wines are first made in the vineyards. And we have vineyard sources and control the farming practice with them. And it's very, our wines are very handcrafted, so they're quite expensive to put together.
You don't own your own grapes, your own vines, do you?
We have a combination of both that we have. We have, when we started, as I said, we outsourced everything. We buy a lot of our grapes come from Dutton Ranch, from the Dutton people, and mm-hmm. we have very highly acknowledged. But we have very specific vineyards and very specific even rows that we have that we deal with the Duttons. Then we have properties that we've started right from scratch with owners and picked up clones, the spacing. And then we have our own 25-acre estate property, which we think will produce the finest fruit we've ever had.
And are these new vines that you planted, or did you buy something that was already there?
No, we started from scratch on those.
How long does it take for a vine to produce a quality grape?
Oh, I'd say it starts. You get a little bit in three, but really it starts in five.
Yeah,
is when you start.
You can't be a winemaker if you're not a patient person, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you have to be, and our wines are a combination. Our Chardonnays, which you enjoy, come off of vines that are 25 and 35 years of age.
Right.
Our Syrahs, which are, I think, world class, come off of vines that started 4 years of age.
How long can a vine produce quality?
I don't know if I'm going to live that long. But to answer your question, I mean, there's vines that are 50, 80 years of age.
Over in France, how old?
Oh, there's vines over there that are near 100 years old.
Is that right?
You have Zinfandel vines that are 100 years old. But
right.
I think they're probably at their maturity when anywhere above probably 7 years through 25, 35 years of age.
But what you've done is you said, okay, the wine comes first. And whenever you found some success, you said, okay, we can still make excellent wine, we can still make an excellent product, but now let's start owning some of our own infrastructure. And you did some of that, but you never lost sight of the product that you made. It had to be good.
It was never, because there was no pressure. Because
right.
as I said, we were very profitable. There's a big difference from producing and selling 10,000 cases and selling 300. So we bought all of our infrastructure was purchased directly off of profits.
Right.
We have no debt.
Right. Okay, quickly, I've only got 30 seconds. You recommend that Chardonnay not be consumed out of a Chardonnay glass out of a regular white wine glass.
I think it's too small. Some of them are. I will tell you without equivocation, I get fun with this one, is I could take and serve you the same bottle of wine in three different glasses, and you'll swear you're tasting three different wines. And I've seen it done. I've seen Riddell do it. And I know enough about making glass to be dangerous. But
you think a good Chardonnay should be served in a Burgundy, in a red wine glass.
Or put it in a Hermitage glass.
Like a snifter or something.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Carrie, I got to wrap it up. Will you come back again? We got a lot more to talk about.
Absolutely. Thanks for enjoying our wine.
It's been fun. Thank you for being here. Thank you for making a great wine. Carrie Murphy, ladies and gentlemen, with Dumas Winery, Dumas.com. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.